is well able, huh, to be God in your life and to do what he desires to do. I probably, if I went around the house here and put the mic in your face, just about everybody would have a testimony of how God has been good to you in your life, huh? How he's been able, well able, to bring you out of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of his dear son. How he's blessed your life in so many different ways when it didn't look like it was possible. God likes to show up that way. When things look most dim is when he brings the light. Hallelujah. Look at all these kids. Praise God. Going to children's church. Awesome. Follow Jesus all the days of your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's a good sign right there. We're a church, I see some different faces today, but we're a church of multi-generational people. We got everything from, where's that woman? The woman's got a baby in the womb, right, sister? What is that, number four? Did I get it right? Yeah. Ay, caramba, four. That's all right. God will give you the grace to deal with that. We got kids in the womb and all the way to, Mark, can I use you? How young are you, sir? How young are you? All right, 83. I don't know if we got anybody else that beats that, but it's all right. From there, you know, all the way. And we need everybody, you know. We need the seasoned people, the older or seasoned people that have been in God. We need those that are mature in God. We need our young people, our teens and young adults. We need the little ones coming up like that. And somehow God puts all of that together as the family of God. Huh? Come on. As the family of God. And then he does what he wants to do through us. I tell... was it the youth I was speaking to recently? I said, look, I'm not coming to your school. I'm not talking to your friends. They don't want to hear from me anyway. But if you have something to say about God, if you'll be a witness, if you'll love somebody, if you'll share the gospel with somebody, it's got a whole lot more impact on the young people than, you know, if I come and try to say something to them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you get an opportunity to share the love of God with anybody, don't be bashful. Be bold in God and just speak from your heart. Tell him how good God has been to you and what he's done in your life. Start there. Amen? We all, come on, church, we all can do that. You don't have to be an evangelist to do that. You just be a believer in Christ. You be a disciple of his and share the love of God with those around you. Amen? Praise God. All right, well, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Like I said, I see some new faces, some people that haven't been here lately. So let me just kind of introduce to you and bring you up to speed where we've been at. And I want to take off from that today. Recently, we've been looking at, you know, our Christian lives as we walk by faith, right? It's a walk of faith. We're following after Jesus, but it's a walk of faith. And last week, I got into Hebrews 11 a little bit where we have, you know, an array of heroes of the faith, many that have gone before us that provide us with great examples of how to live and walk in faith. And I spent some time talking about David and part of his life. And what you find through it all is that it was through faith that they did great exploits. They had great victories. They had incredible testimonies in their lives through the faith that they had in God. And so we spent some time there last week, and of course that was Hebrews 11. And then if you follow the thought into Hebrews 12, it says there that we ought to be looking unto Jesus now, the author and the finisher of our faith. So if you're not sure where to look in your Christian walk, look up and look to Jesus Christ, who happens to be seated at the right hand of the throne today, huh? And he's also on the throne of our hearts, so that's a good thing to know. But look unto him. Look at what Jesus faced when he had to go through all that he went through to get to that cross for us. I'm going to get into it a little this morning. And so today I want to look further with you into the scripture a little bit here about how we are to move forward by faith. How are we to go about this thing? The scripture tells us to do it, to walk by faith, to live by faith, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Well, let's take a little look today at how we are to do that as his people, okay? This is one of those words that, yes, it's for you as an individual, of course, but it's also a corporate or a body word because that's who we are. We're the family of God. We're the people of God. We're the body of Christ. Somebody agree with that, huh? All right, so let's do this. You turn to Hebrews 10, please. And I'm going to entitle this for our recording this morning. And we're also recording for YouTube as well. So anyone viewing this on YouTube, pray that the word will touch your heart, the Spirit of God will come to you and touch you and change you, and that this word gives you strength, gives you revelation, gets you into God's presence so you could be changed. I'm going to call this or title this, Draw Near, Hold Fast, and Consider One Another. Got that, Sister Stephanie? Draw near, hold fast, and consider one another. Kind of a three-pronged message, if you will. You know, God likes threes, Stephen, you know. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? Outer court, inner court, most holy place. 30, 60, 100-fold. He's got this rhythm. God's got this thing about threes, yeah. Another day. Draw near, hold fast, and consider one another. Hebrews 10. Let me know when you're there. Come on, church. Let me give you a little disclaimer first. Forgive me for my voice. It hasn't shown up yet, but hopefully there'll be something there. You'll get something out of it today. I'll give you everything I got. Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, the writer is talking about the sacrifices of the old covenant, of the law, and how that was weak and didn't accomplish all that it was to accomplish. And so there was need of a second covenant, as we know, the new covenant in Christ. And he says that all those sacrifices, you know, that the priests used to do, it would cover the people for a day. And then when the high priest would go once a year, it would cover the people. But then they would be reminded of their sin and be reminded of their guilty conscience and be reminded of, so there was a continual sacrifice going on for that. But when Jesus came, it says here that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He became the sacrifice for God that would accomplish what God wanted to accomplish in cleansing everybody. All people would have opportunity to be cleansed of their sins and come into right relationship with God. And so when Christ stepped out and did that, he ushered in the new covenant in his blood. Now, I'm going to pick this up in verse 19, and this is what we're going to focus on today. Are you ready? Amen. Here we go. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Brethren, having boldness to enter into the holy of holies. See, that's where the high priest would go, behind the curtain, into the holy of holies, with the sin offering and sacrifice. And that would be done once a year, you know, an atonement to cover the people for that year. This is saying that, brethren, let's have boldness now to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Stay with me. By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. So with his offering of his very own body, we have a new and a living way, and that's the Spirit of God. That's the way into the presence of God, to the Holy of Holies, is by the Spirit of God, but only because of what Jesus did there. Verse 21, and it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. Jesus, it is declared in this book, actually, that he is our apostle and high priest. He is our high priest. He's accomplished this for us. And now he's over the house of God. He's over the people of God. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he sits on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for his people. We'll see it today. So now, here's what he's going to tell us today, church. Verse 22. See, because of what Jesus accomplished, now here's what we're to do. Here's how we are to live. Verse 22 says, let us, that's us, brethren, that's the church, let us draw near with a true heart or a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. See, with real conviction of your faith, with real conviction of who you believe in and what he says is true. He says, draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, it's by the blood of Jesus that you can get cleansed from a filthy, dirty conscience, a guilty conscience of sin in a sinful way. We had, not too long ago, we had some water baptismal candidates, and they did in fact step out in faith and went down into the waters of baptism. And I told them that as they go down in the waters, they would identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as they came up out of the waters. See, so that water, although in the natural maybe it wasn't so pure and clean and righteous, but in the spirit that water was pure and holy because we were operating in what God told us to do. And so it washed them clean and fresh. And they came up out of the waters of baptism with a pure and a clean heart to serve God and go forward with him. So whether you're looking at the blood or the baptism of the water, God is cleansing his people to make us a sanctified people, that we'd be holy like he is holy. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we're to draw near to him because the blood has come on us, because we've been water baptized and stepping forward with him. We're to come near because of what he's done. Now, before I move forward with another verse, even though that's the case, even though that's the truth, even though that's how we have come through so far, some of us still wrestle with a conscience that doesn't seem clean. It doesn't seem pure. It may, in fact, be telling you there's some guilt that you're carrying in your life for whatever transpired, whatever that was that went down in your life. But God says, no, when I put the blood on you, when I saw you in the baptism waters, I cleansed you. I purified your life. Your sins have been washed away as far as the east is from the west and tossed into the sea of forgetfulness. So when stuff comes up in your mind, when the enemy tries to play games with telling you that you're no good, you did this, you did that, this is how you live, this is what you say, no, 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 I don't belong to you. I belong to Jesus, and he shed his blood for me. He cleansed me. He purified my soul. Come on, come on. Get warmed up, church. Yes, so knowing that, we're to what? Draw near. See, if you miss it, and we all do and we all will from time to time, but it's not our heart to live in sin anymore. That's not who we are. That's not our lifestyle. I used to be that, and I was good at it. Thank you, Jesus. I got rescued. I got delivered, pulled out of. I got a second chance. I got a new life. How about you? He told us in Corinthians, those that are in Christ, what? The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. You're a new creature in Christ. By faith, by the grace of God, you're a new creature in Christ. All that is washed away. You're clean. You're pure. You're holy because of the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So you don't have to live with a conscience that's not clean. If you miss it, you simply repent before your God. Draw near. Draw close. Repent. Receive your forgiveness. Let him wash you, cleanse you. And then move forward with God. Keep going with God. Amen? What a gift, huh? What a gift. So he says, first things first here, let's draw near. Verse 23, then he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Hold fast. Seize it. Get a hold of it. And don't let go of your faith in Christ. He says, the profession of our faith, meaning when we declare it, when we claim to be believers, when we say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ. Yeah, I'm part of the family of God. When you profess to be one of his, he says. Don't waver from that. Here, stay right there. James said this about wavering. When he was talking about wisdom, he's talking about asking God for wisdom. He said to ask in faith. Listen, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So that principle of wavering is a dangerous place to go. Don't waver to the right or the left from your God. It'll make you unstable in all of your ways. You think, oh, I could go over here and do a little bit of this, and then the rest of this is going to be all right? No. God says, I want all of you. I want your heart. I want your spirit, soul, and body. I want all of you. So don't waver, or another place that he says, don't shrink back. I got no pleasure in those that shrink back from believing in me. Don't back up just because things might be a little challenging. Don't back up when you're challenged or there's an obstacle in your way. Don't back up from your faith. He says, hold fast and don't waver. Why? Because
He is faithful that promised. See, God can't change from being faithful. That's who He is. He is faithful. That's part of His being. That's part of His makeup. That's part of His attributes. He's a faithful God. So He's not changing. If He said something, if He's given you a promise, and there's many in the book, He's not backing up from that. That's truth. And you can hold on to Him and hold on to that truth. So He says, for us, draw near, hold fast. He goes on, listen, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Consider one another. See, you're not in this thing alone, church. You're not designed to be a believer, a disciple of Christ, someone serving God all by yourself. That's a very dangerous place to live. But rather, we're to be connected in the body of Christ. We are to be connected. He even says He knits us together in love. That's how He does it, our love one for another. That's how the world will see that we're His, through our love one to another, He said. So we're not designed to be separate. We're supposed to consider one another and encourage one another into love and good works. Another way of saying that is to spur one another on. See, encourage one another in your walk. You're getting the focus off of yourself, and you're getting your focus a little bit more on helping somebody else, encouraging somebody else, lifting up somebody else, blessing somebody else. Come on, come on, come on. That's how we're supposed to live this thing out. He says also here in verse 25, not forsaking or neglecting, maybe your version says, the assembling of ourselves together. The assembling of ourselves together. Think about that for a second. When you think about assembling something, did you ever get a toy for your kids? And it says on the box, some assembly required. Yeah, and then you open it up and there's a zillion pieces and you're like, oh my God, how do I put this thing together? You ever do that? Or you ever do an old puzzle, right? 500 pieces. You open the box, put them out. Oh my God, this has got to be assembled. It's got to come together. A lot of different examples you could use, but just because all the pieces are there doesn't mean that it is what it's supposed to be. Come on, somebody. Are the lights on? Just because we're all in the room, folks, just because we have this building that we can come and worship our God, and just because we're all here as believers in Jesus Christ, doesn't mean we're assembled. It doesn't mean we're in unity. We pray for unity, sure. Because that's what's, that's God's heart. That's what He wants, His people to be one. So we pray for that. But hey, let's be real. If we're all in this place and we never encourage one another, we never ask, how you doing? Is there something I could do for you? Let me pray for you today. If you need something, can I help you? You need some help with something? How's your walk with God going? How's things going? Are you in the book? I was worshiping God the other day. You wouldn't believe it. It was an awesome time. Do you worship at home or in your time? Do you understand? You need to make a connection and get assembled as the body of Christ. We can't just come into the building and hear a great message and great music and go out of the building. Come into the building and hear a great message and hear some music and go out of the building. You can't just go in and go out for all of your days as a Christian and think you're being assembled and that we're building something real for God. I know, they won't tell you that because they want you to keep coming and bring your wallet with you and bring your purse with you. You keep coming, though. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Well, okay. Yeah, you could come back and you can give. I get that. But let's get connected while we're here. Or outside of here, maybe you want to have coffee with somebody, or maybe you're texting somebody, or, you know, maybe you invite somebody over to your home. Maybe you go to help somebody, you know, if they've got a need. I don't know what it is for you, but if you're prayerful about that and ask God, you know, that crazy pastor, he had, you know, some truth there. Maybe I should do something for somebody. What? Who could I help, Lord? Just maybe God will whisper somebody's name in your ear. Just maybe he'll show you a face before you in prayer. Just maybe somebody will come before you that needs your help from the body of Christ and you're ready to help. He's talking about being assembled, folks. Not neglecting the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day? You know what he's referring to when he says the day? That's the day of the Lord. That's the day when Jesus comes back. So I don't know when that day is. No man does know that. Only the Father knows that. But we're a lot closer today than we were yesterday, or than we were a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 50 years. You understand? We are closer to the coming of the Lord. All you got to do is look at some of the signs out there. Look at what's going on in the world. Famines, wars, rumors of wars, huh? Jesus laid it out. It's in the book. He said that when you start seeing this stuff happening, that's only the beginning. Buckle up, church. It's only the beginning of sorrows. See why you got to be locked in? Why you got to stay and hold fast to God? Yeah, things are going to go sideways. But in the midst of it, he's got a people. He's got his people. A witness of Jesus Christ. Some people of faith. Some people that'll stand. Some people that'll hold steady to the truth in the midst of the madness. Is that you? God's not playing games. He's not playing church. He's doing something real. Look, when Jesus stepped out and said, I'm going to build my church, I'm going to do it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He was speaking truth. He was speaking conviction. He was saying something that's really going to happen. And we just might be part of that. Huh? If you're part of the family of God, part of the people of God, if you will allow God to change you, mold you, bend you, change you, you know, if you'll allow him to do that, he just might assemble us together. Huh? He just might put us together as what the scripture calls a temple. And then once the temple is built, Mark, he's going to fill it with the glory of God. We haven't seen the glory, brother. You were singing a little song there in praise. We'll have to talk. A song about one man that saw the glory was Isaiah. God opened his eyes. He was right in the throne room. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw the glory of God. The angels were there. John saw it in Revelation. The angels are there crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Ah, they got a glimpse of the glory. We've had pockets, maybe, of glory that people have seen and experienced in the earth, even though the scripture says the glory of God is in the earth. It's full of the glory of God. We haven't yet realized it as his people. See, we've been messing around in the outer court, barely getting into the inner court, and we haven't come into the holy of holies, where you can't do or say anything. You can just be in his presence. God is so powerful. I think it's Timothy. He said, God lives in an unapproachable light, where you can't get in there without just being blown up. Unapproachable light. See, you can go out and stare at the sun in the heat of summer, and when that sun is beaming, and it's more than that. God is bigger, brighter, more than that. But if we'll allow him to build us his way and assemble us as the people of God, you're going to see the glory of God being ushered into our times of worship, our times of being in the Word of God, our times of fellowship with one another. You're going to see God show himself more and more. See, he's already done everything. He's waiting on us to agree with him and to align to his will and his purposes. That's for our sake, but it's for his name's sake that he's going to do it. Jesus. Assemble ourselves together, encourage one another as we see the day approaching. That's why I say to you, church, when we gather, you know, this is one Sunday, 11 o'clock. This is one time we gather. Is it next week? Is next Sunday the last Sunday of the month? Do I have that right? Somebody help me. I'm not in time right now. No? Two more Sundays? A couple more Sundays, the last Sunday of the month. After service, we're going to go downstairs, have a little snack and fellowship. It's going to be an opportunity for you to come and meet somebody maybe you don't know, or come and get to know somebody a little bit better. Have a few minutes of fellowship. Maybe exchange numbers, or, you know, talk one with another. Get to know people a little bit more and be knitted together in love. That's one. You know, there's other times during other seasons. We've had great times with Brother Jonas, times of praise concerts, right? Outside, inside, anywhere that we could praise God works. And those gatherings are times where we could fellowship one with another and praise our God. I say, when we have those things, don't miss those opportunities. Come out and be part of those things, because it's in those times that God, you know, he tries to connect us. He tries to assemble us, no? You got to be there, though. You got to be present and willing to connect. God's not going to, you know, jam it down your throat, and I won't either, but the invitation is there. The encouragement is there to be part of it. When we come in here on Sundays, don't rush in and rush out. Take a couple of minutes. Get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Allow Him to assemble us and connect us a little bit better. Amen? All right, all right. Let me kind of close this up for today with kind of these three thoughts here, these three things that I'm pressing on a little bit. All of this, I got to start with Jesus. All of this is because of what Jesus did. You see, this is all based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ Himself. When He willingly laid His life down on that cross, and they nailed Him to that cross, and they raised Him up there on Golgotha's hill, and He poured out His blood, and He gave His last breath, and He said, "It is finished." And He ushered in a new covenant. He ushered in a new relationship with Father God. When Jesus did that, He did that for you and He did that for me. That's the starting point there for our relationship with God. See, there's victory in the cross, folks. He didn't stay in the grave, but He got up on the third day, and the Father called Him back to glory. And He gave Him the seat of power at His right hand. And that's where Jesus is today. The scripture says, even in this book here in Hebrews, that He ever liveth to make intercession for you. See, He is our high priest today. He's still ministering as our high priest. He says, "No, Father, they've got blood on them. They've got my blood on them. They're covered. They're cleansed. They're purified. They're holy. They're the ones I'm trying to assemble and put together in the world so that they could shine forth as my witness in the earth." No. They're clean. They're holy. They're righteous. They're ours, Lord. Those are Your people. He's interceding for you that you could come into the will of God and do His work, do His bidding in the earth. Jesus, thank You. Thank You. Knowing that, as His people, listen, I'm going to summarize it for you. Number one, as His people, we can draw near to our Lord in faith, knowing that we could be washed and cleansed and pure, not guilty, not having a guilty conscience before our God. Draw near now that the blood of Jesus is on you. That's one message right there. That's a whole message right there for you. You can draw near and be cleansed and purified and know that you're holy before your God because of the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Here's two. We, as His people, out of this verse here, He said we are to hold fast the profession of our faith and not waver. Don't waver. Don't give your position away. Don't allow the enemy to move you off of your spot in God. He'll try. He'll lie. He'll try to deceive you. He'll try to manipulate you. He'll try to make something look, oh, so good. And, oh, that looks like that's Christian stuff. He'll try all sorts of tricks. But when you boil it all down, He's the father of all lies. Don't buy the lie. Nope. Not wavering. Not wavering. Why? Because God's faithful. He's faithful to His word. If you're his forevermore. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He has many, many promises in the book that belong to you. You ought to open the book in faith and ask the Lord to show you your future. Show you what he believes in you. I looked at something early this morning. I hadn't looked at it in years. God reminded me of what Jeremiah had said, and some of you probably have it on, maybe on a coffee mug or on your Bible cover or up on your wall, but that God loves us so much, he cares about us, that he has a destiny for us. He's bringing us to the thoughts that I have towards you, he said, are thoughts of peace. I've got a good thing for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a destiny for you. I'm going to take you to a good place. I told you before, church, we are headed for glory. We're headed for the glory of God. But on the way, God's going to take good care of you as you follow after him by faith. As you walk with him and follow him his way, he's going to take good care of you. He's got a destiny for you. Thank you, Jesus. His promises, what's it say, Deacon? All the promises of God are yea and amen, right, to those that believe. See, I believe him. I told you a couple weeks ago, we got to believe in him and what he says. Not just believe that there's a God, and there is, but put your faith and your trust in him, in the person of Jesus Christ, in all that God has said in his word. Believe what he says about you, about us as the people of God. Thirdly, we as his people are to consider one another, or spur one another on, is the way I said it earlier, right? Spur one another on to love and good works or good deeds. Encourage one another in the ministry work that you do. Or maybe if you haven't rolled up your sleeves and stepped out in faith and started some work in the ministry work, maybe it's time. Pray about it. Ask God, is there something I could do to help the people of God develop, mature, so that we can advance your gospel? See, because all our gifting, all our skills, all our knowledge, when we put all that together, the scripture tells us that it's to edify the body. It's to build up the body of Christ, that we'd come into maturity, and Jesus Christ being the head will have his mature body. Why don't you be part of it? Amen? So those three things, church: draw near today, hold fast to your faith, and consider one another. See, when we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord, his people ought to be maturing and developing and getting more and more like him, so that when he returns, he finds faith in the earth. He finds you in a mature place in God, so that we can go with him and do his bidding forevermore. That's what he's after. I see our young people coming back in. That's good. Come on back in. I think today I'll pray. Come on in, young people. Have a seat. Let me pray for you for a minute. And then we'll worship God and close up our time together. If you can, stand on your feet. Let's honor the Lord for a minute. Prepare your heart. I called this message today, Draw Near, Hold Fast, and Consider One Another. Because those are the three things that God is emphasizing to us today as His people. Now, I'm not going to go get in your business today, but I'm going to say it like this. Some of you that are hearing this word today, you need to draw near to God. You haven't been. Some of you here today are encouraged to hold fast to your faith and not waver, because maybe you've been wavering a little bit. Others, you might need to consider your brother or your sister in Christ more than you have so far. I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. I have to examine my heart with the truth. And I do that before I bring the truth to you, so that there's some anointing on this. This is not some cheap message off the internet. This is truth from the heart of God coming to you by the grace of God. If you're wise in this place today, you'll consider it, you'll take the word to heart, and you'll make some adjustments in your life. Remember, this God that we love is a loving God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. But He is building a people His way. This is not a thing of man. This work here, this is not a man's work. Our hands are way off of this. This is a thing of God. This is something the Spirit of God is doing. This is something He's doing by His word. Examine your heart. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for the truth. In a day when truth seems nowhere to be found, but only in You, we're grateful, we're thankful that You could speak to us and that we have Your truth. We have You. I pray for Your people today. Lord, in these areas that I've identified this morning, in drawing near to You, in holding fast to our faith without wavering, and in encouraging one another and considering one another. In those areas, Lord, and others, we examine our hearts. We pray, Father, for Your grace and Your mercy in our lives to make adjustments in those areas, that we'd move forward with You. We'd draw near to You. We'd hold fast to our faith. We would love one another even as You have loved us. Lord, let this word get in the hearts of Your people. And Lord, let us walk it out by the grace of God, that You would continue to build Your church, Your people, Your way. That, Lord, we'd come to maturity in our faith with You. And Father, that You would be well pleased with Your people in this hour. I thank You for the grace of God that's upon their lives to walk this out. And Lord, I pray a hedge of protection round about them today. I pray, Father, that You draw them in closer and deeper in their relationship with You. And Lord, that You use them in a mighty way to the glory of God. Thank You for this time together. Bless them, keep them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise and worship team, Brother Jonas, come on and let's worship God as we close our time together. Let's let Him know that we agree with Him, we agree with His word, and that we're going to move out in it by faith. We're going to move out in it by the grace of God. Come on and give your heart to God for a couple of minutes here. Thank you.
bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
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 Church, you agree? That's what that means. So be it. Amen. I agree with the truth, Lord. Amen. Bow your hearts. Let's close in a word of prayer today. Father, we thank you and bless you today.
You're an awesome God. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise in this house. Thank you for your word, Lord, the truth in love. Let the grace of God be upon your people to live it out, Lord. Make it real. Put legs to it that we, Lord, could be changed and become the people that you've called us to become, that you'd have your witness in the earth, Lord. I thank you for the grace of God in their lives. Bless them, keep them, and let us continue to follow after you as we go forward in faith. I thank you and bless you today. Give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.